I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello and welcome to the Internet Marketing Podcast brought to you by Site Visibility. I'm your host, Scott Colnut, and with me today is Jeroen Courthout, founder of Salesflare. And we're going to be talking about remote selling today, successfully remote selling. And it's a really timely conversation because the role of salespeople has changed dramatically over this last year. And we're having to adapt without being in person and learning how to sell online in a different way. And to introduce Jeroen, and one reason I'm so excited to have him on is only yesterday, we're talking in mid-January at this point, Jeroen has published a great post on remote selling on the Salesflare site, which I'll link to in our show notes. But the podcast really comes off the back of that. I thought we could expand on some of the topics, and it's a great post and goes into detail about remote selling. So I think you should all check that out too. So welcome to the podcast, Jeroen.
Thank you.
No problem. So do you want to take a moment to introduce yourself and Salesflare to our listeners?
Yeah, so I'm Jeroen Courthout. I'm co-founder and CEO of Salesflare, and Salesflare is a B2B sales CRM. So there's many CRMs in the world. I'll quickly place it for you. There's actually, according to G2.com, I think there's more than 640. We specifically focus on small and medium-sized businesses. That's because if you go to enterprises, you'll often end up with something that is more like a building blocks kind of software, which is built for the enterprise, not really for the end users. Probably the first thing that springs to mind is Salesforce. You know, this really big thing that you buy and get consultants to customize. We focus on small and medium-sized businesses who are rather looking for really practical tools to make their work better. We focus there on sales, really the essence of the CRM. So it's a sales CRM for small and medium-sized businesses, and then specifically also those who sell B2B. We like to keep our software simple, so we decided to focus exclusively on B2B, so it makes everything more straightforward. And that's one of the things we focus on, being more straightforward. If you start a trial on our software, you can see that it's not as bulky and non-understandable as others. But mainly, and the reason why we started Salesflare was because we saw that most CRMs fail, not because they're not nice software, but because they have unreasonably high expectations about the amount of data input you're going to do. And nobody can keep up with that. So we figured at some point that we build a solution for that. And we figured that actually, most of the data you input into a CRM is actually already in another system. So 7 years ago, we thought we can change that. We built something that connects to your emails, connects to your calendar, connects to your phone, social media, company databases, email tracking, web tracking, all that. And it's actually the only CRM out there that is built from the ground up for automated data input. And then also allow some manual data input, but that's just because people like to keep control and sometimes correct something or so.
There are three things that stand out to me knowing a little bit about Salesflare, and I'm sure I'll understand more as we're talking today, but one was the automated data input. So that really stands out to me because, and I'm sure we'll talk about this some more, is that one of the big obstacles to maintaining a CRM is the manual data input. And as you said, that's probably a big obstacle for salespeople as well. The second thing that stood out to me was the user interface and the user experience of your platform. I remember reading somewhere on your website about it's for the modern day salesman. It's the, you want that clean, slick interface that allows you to drag and drop and see your pipeline really clearly. And the third thing that stands out to me is the number of integrations you have with other platforms, which is super helpful. If you're into software like If That Then This, Zapier, Integromat, you want to be able to automate your sales pipeline and your communication in that pipeline, and this allows you to do that. Are those three standout points that I've just summarized there fair in respect of your platform? Are those things that stand out to you as well?
Yeah, most people appreciate in the shortest way of explaining how easy to use and automated things are. That's we basically figured that a CRM only works when salespeople use it, when all the data gets in there, and that this is the main bottleneck for every CRM implementation out there. So that's what we focus on most, and we make sure that salespeople actually use it first by making it very easy. So if they don't understand it, they're not going to use it. But that's something that many CRMs try to solve. But secondly, by focusing very hard on automating that data input, because if there's too much friction there, salespeople are also not going to use it. And then third, it's really also offering value back if they do. So we make a system that makes sure that you know at any point that you need to follow up with someone. For instance, we give you, so because we keep track of all the interactions automatically, right? Like all the emails and meetings and calls and all these kind of things. We can see when it was that you were last in touch with someone, and we can remind you when you're sort of slacking off so that you'll never forget to follow up a customer, because that's where most salespeople fail. It's, you know, if you don't have a system, like you're following up tens or hundreds of customers, it's very easy to forget customers all the time. You start disappointing them, you lose some momentum, and you basically lose out on the deal. And we try to fix that. We try to make sure that you can have perfect personal relationships with a lot of people at once and don't lose out on any sale.
So you're immersed in this space. You're in this space every day. You're building a CRM. You're growing a CRM in this space. And I imagine that you've seen a lot of changes in sales and from salespeople and related to sales processes over this last year. And we're going to break some of the things down that are in your article that you've published on your site. So we'll go into some of this in more detail. Are you able to summarize for our listeners the types of problems and new challenges that you see salespeople facing and over this last year and moving into the rest of 2021?
Yeah, I think some of the things that are happening is, well, first, everything moved online last year. Not everybody is used to that. So there has been some adaptation there. And I'm sure we'll go deeper into that, because that's what the article I wrote is also related to. But then secondly, with a sort of new sales automation type software that has been growing in the past few years, people get spammed more and more, and it's just harder and harder to get their attention. And yeah, the usual sort of more aggressive sales approach starts being very ineffective. So people need to focus more on authenticity and on trying to be helpful, and also a lot of inbound, trying to do something with create interest and then do something with that interest rather than cold calling or emailing.
You talked there about having to adapt to working online. And in your article, you outline some of these. It brings about pros and cons. One of the cons is obviously every salesperson is having to adapt their skills. So if a traditional salesperson that's good at offline networking and offline connections and offline selling, they're going to have to radically change their style to be that person online. So that's a big challenge to overcome.
Yeah.
But then the second thing in line, which you said there, is that now everyone is selling the same way. So it's not like you have the option now to continue to offline sell, at least right now as we're speaking, to undertake offline selling and online selling. Everyone is online. And so that means that prospects are going to be receiving more emails and more messages than ever. So you've got to try and find a way to cut through that noise. I'd maybe like to start off with that, the connection element that you talk about. So there are salespeople out there that they thrive on being able to make face-to-face connections. That's the way in which they sell best, because they're able to use their characteristics, use their personality, use their charm, use their emotion to make those one-to-one connections that are so important in the selling process. How are you seeing that replicated online? And have you got any tips, techniques, or just observations from what you've seen about how salespeople are trying to do that?
Yeah, but how to try to use their offline selling charm online, right? Yeah, it's definitely harder. I mean, we all know that having a WhatsApp or a Zoom call with someone is not the same as meeting them in person. There's just a different feel to it. It's like you're first of all, you're sort of two screens separated from the person. You don't see the whole body language. You only see chest up mostly. So you're missing out on a lot there as well. But there's also just generally not that feeling of being together in the same place, which also sort of makes a difference. So it's a bit harder to make a connection, but to then make a connection, you can actually make use of the fact that video calls lend themselves to a more informal atmosphere. Like if you would go to someone's office, you go through this very routinous thing where you go to the lobby, they pick you up, they offer you a coffee or a water, you walk to the meeting room, you have this little "did you find it kind of conversation, you know, you sit down, some more pleasantries. You can get all these things in a video call. You also don't have to wear a suit. I think I've been in two calls this year or last year where someone wore a suit and it was awkward. Yeah,
I've not seen a suit for a year. I've just thought about that. Yeah, I've not seen anyone. So two suit sightings, that's a pretty rare sighting at the moment.
Yeah, it was awkward. Someone with a suit in I was wondering, like, below the suit, are they wearing pants or whatever? So you can wear a t-shirt. It's also nice. You can very often have a bit more of a personal background on video calls, not the office sort of style thing, not super clean, but you see a bit more of the personality of people. Sometimes kids walk in. And the nicest is if people then introduce you to their kids. That really gives a big personal feel to things. You might hear at some point during the podcast that my dog starts snoring. I will acknowledge that. It happens. You said you have a cat over there that sometimes yawns as well. You know, that's all fine. Like in a normal office setting, we probably wouldn't be able to do to imagine that, but during video calls, that's fine. But maybe to maximize the personable aspect, a few tips. First of all, turn video on. It's very basic, but calling without video is way less personable. Make a bit more time for small talk. The bad thing about being in this remote selling sort of setup is, like in general in this pandemic, is that people don't see a lot of other people. So they appreciate it even more if you're human and if you give some time to creating a connection rather than the business transaction, let's say. I would say in between video calls, emails, they don't super work. I think chat is very often a much better channel to communicate through. It's much more interactive, and it makes that you can create much stronger bonds. By the way, in between video calls, you can also use video. Like I have customers often, I don't use it myself so much. Sometimes I record a little video, but they record themselves in a conversation rather than sending a video. And that makes it much more personal as well. And just in general, being a bit more attentive to people's needs and what they asked last time and all these kind of things, even more than normally, just makes that you can compensate for some of the loss of being personable there. Also, I noticed in myself that when I take a bit more time for every video call and try to enjoy it to the fullest, try to have a connection with people on there, it's also good for me, because otherwise I very quickly end up with a Zoom burnout, let's say. Mm. But when I really focus on the people and the human connection, and every call is different, kind of, that really helps for my motivation.
Mm. We'll go into motivation maybe a bit more in a moment. But there's so much great advice in what you've just shared. But one thing that really stands out to me is that when you're working in an office, I know this from our marketing agency, you know, whenever a client or a prospect comes in, you have everyone in the agency go around, tidy up their desks, put all the cups away, clean the kitchen, you know, and that's the right thing to do. You want to be presentable. But there is something nice about working from home and talking about someone that's in a selling position. You need to replicate that authenticity in some way. And so it makes sense to me, when you're at home, rather than worrying so much about being polished, about wearing the suit, it makes a lot of sense to me to make a greater connection through video, that you would actually embrace your surroundings a bit more. And like you said, maybe take the tone to a slightly more informal level and use those surroundings to actually enable you to be more authentic in calls. And yeah, you're completely right. It's funny you'll say that, not necessarily in sales calls, but I've had podcasts where my cat comes out and meows. I've had team meetings and other meetings with our clients or prospects where my cat comes out. And I really enjoy being able to show that side of my life. And I think it probably helps make that connection with people. So it's funny how different the approach is when you're in the office versus working from home. I think the other thing that stands out to me is, if you stop worrying on video calls about being what, you know, so much in our surroundings when we're working from home that we can't control, that must be quite stressful for people that are trying to be too polished. Whereas I think Lee, as a salesperson, going to be more relaxed if you're just upfront about where you are, what's happening around you, and that will probably make you more comfortable for the calls that you're participating in. Does that sound fair based on what you've seen and are saying?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And as you were talking, you also touched on body language and said you can't see people's body language as you could in the real world. And one phrase that I really loved from your article and one concept was digital body language. So maybe for the listeners of this podcast, could you describe what the concept of digital body language is?
Yeah, so in a conversation, a lot of the communication happens through body language. They usually give percentages. I don't remember exactly. 60% or something of communication would be through body language. Now, during video calls, you lose a lot of that. And in general, you basically don't see people much. But when interactions are largely digital, there's also a lot of things you can track, which is sort of like people's body language. They don't really communicate with you verbally. They don't tell you anything, but they do stuff. And based on that, you can sort of see whether they're interested, how they feel about things. Mm-hmm. So a few things that you can collect there on a very basic level is, do people open your emails? When do they? How often do they? When you have links in them, do they click them? Link to that, you can also have website tracking. So people open your email a few times, click on a link, check pages on your site. What pages do they check? How long do they look at these pages? Is it maybe the pricing page? Because then they're probably sort of considering buying. You can also track things like documents and proposals. There's software like that for like Attach.io or DocSend. Tracks documents by putting them in the web view, and then if the customer checks the document out online, then you can track what they do. And then it's also good to get notifications of that when it happens, because then it also enables you to contact people when they're actually thinking about you or what you're offering. So it's a bit easier to time your follow-up. Very often people are only thinking about your product or services in very specific time frames, and the rest of the time they're just too busy. So if you see that they're checking out your emails at that moment, your site, it might be a good moment to just give them a call.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah, there's so many great software examples, software recommendations in the article. But do you have any personal favorites in terms of email tracking software or proposal-related software that you like?
We offer email tracking and website tracking within Salesflare. So that's what I use. I honestly don't use anything else in that respect. When it comes to proposal software, I don't use a lot of proposal software, but the guys at Better Proposals have something really nice. We integrate with them. They have very beautiful proposal software in the sense like you can make actual like proposals as if it's a web page in a very easy way, drag and drop. And it also tracks whether people read the proposals. You can sign proposals in there and it sends you notifications about that. And I even pay, I think, if you would want that. And what other software were you looking for?
Email tracking, which you've mentioned, it already happens within Salesforce, so that's what you use.
Yeah.
Just and if, essentially, the question is, any software that you think helps people to understand digital body language?
Yeah. Well, I think for a salesperson, at least, those are probably the basics. It's the email tracking and the web tracking that we offer in Salesforce, and proposal tracking in something like Better Proposals. What it can also be interesting if you don't make proposals but rather send contracts. I personally use SignNow for that. There's, in terms of tracking there, there's probably better solutions, but I chose them because of their great Zapier integration, which was the most important thing for me.
And as you were talking a moment ago, you were saying how messaging instead of emails is probably on the rise and probably a better way to go to make touch points. So I wanted to break that down a little bit and understand what you use for messaging. When you reference messaging, are you talking LinkedIn messaging? Are you talking WhatsApp for Business, perhaps? Or any other messaging solutions that you're aware of and that you'd recommend our listeners checking out?
Yeah, it very much depends there, of course, what type of sales you do. If it's B2B sales, probably LinkedIn will be the best option. It's very well accepted as a way to chat with each other in a business context. Of course, there's a lot of spam going on there. So if you're going to reach out there, make sure it's authentic and with a lot of empathy rather than what you usually get. But if it's just to connect with your customers, it's really great. Always connect with everyone. Actually, I have this automation set up for us that connects with every single person who starts a Salesforce trial. just to offer myself as hi, first name, welcome to the Salesflare family. It's nice to have you joining us. Let me know if you have any feedback or questions. Just offering my help, not trying to close any deals there or anything. And it's nice. People appreciate having a sort of more close connection to the co-founder of the company rather than just having to go through a support email address and all that. To a large extent, they'll still do that. And when you connect with them, they'll still respect the way business is done. There are many people that misuse that. But for B2B sales, I think LinkedIn is really great. Sometimes Facebook Messenger, these people are also in Facebook groups. There's a lot of business being done in Facebook groups nowadays. And if you're in B2C sales, it's more probably WhatsApp. Like you said, there's WhatsApp for Business with which you can set up quick replies and things like that. It's a bit more fit for business than the normal WhatsApp, but it's almost the same thing. Plus, WhatsApp for Business can also be connected to an automation tool if that's something you'd like to do.
So on this point, if right now there are more touch points via social channels or via social messaging solutions, does Salesflare currently offer or are you planning to offer any integrations with the social messaging solutions? So does that exist within the platform?
Yeah, there's a lot of demand for that. The sad reality is that all these social media platforms do not like to integrate their messaging solutions.
Yeah, particularly LinkedIn.
Yeah, particularly LinkedIn. And that's what's the most asked one, of course. We are looking at solutions there. Maybe integrate Salesforce in the browser within LinkedIn. But really picking up everything server side or so is almost impossible, which is a pity. I mean, even I would like to have LinkedIn conversations coming into Salesforce automatically. So if it ever becomes possible, we'll certainly immediately make it.
Perfect. And another thing that you touched on, again, as you were talking, was motivation. And this is referenced in the article as well. So going back to that theme of salespeople offline, you know, they thrive on making connections and being able to get across their personality face to face. And they also get a lot of motivation from that. It motivates a lot of salespeople to do that. They're social animals, they're sociable people. And now they're having to adapt online and working in a different way. What are some ways in which you think salespeople can keep themselves motivated and aligned with that, help keep them productive and keep them focused on their goals?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. First of all, the very basics is having a healthy balance in life. I think it all starts there with sleeping enough, eating healthy, having enough time for family, and doing some exercise, perhaps go for a run or so. But that's really the basics, like to life, you could say. When it comes to keeping yourself motivated in sales, one part of it is what I mentioned earlier, is trying to really get involved, trying to really, how can I say, enjoy every single interaction, really try to empathize with the customer. It will make everything much more interesting rather than one huge blur. And then third, I think it's very important to stay motivated based on, like people sometimes say, the journey rather than the destination, or the input rather than the output. If you're always focusing on that end goal, sort of the sales target you have that year, it's very, very hard to stay motivated based on that because you won't reach it immediately, right? And there's a lot of roadblocks. But if you can measure yourself by the input you're making, and you can see that on a consistent basis you're making that input, that is a much, you know, it gives you a much quicker feeling of progress. So for instance, you could count like let's say you want to make 20 calls a day to prospects. You just make the 20 calls, you count those, and then when you've done the 20, you can say, I've done it. I mean, I am successful. And you might not make sales that day, but if you do the 20 calls every day of the year, you'll in the end probably hit your sales goal. I mean, I'm just assuming here, but it's just the input is going to make you successful. It's not just thinking about the result. And that's a good way to stay motivated as well.
I really love the idea of just the concept and reminding us all, particularly salespeople. It's such a, you know, I have so much sympathy for them because everyone is burnt out by Zoom calls, as you've just said. And so salespeople have it hardest because they've got to try and entertain and engage people who are on Zoom calls all day. And so that must be quite challenging to motivate. But I love the idea, as you've said, about turning that into it's almost like turning that into a bit of a challenge. Your immediate challenge ahead of you as a salesperson is to gauge someone in a Zoom call. And so a way to motivate yourself is to just undertake that challenge, see it as a challenge. You know, you're the one that's got to breathe life into the conversation and bring energy to a call. I just think that's a great way to approach that. I wanted to ask you about, aligned with this, productivity as well. So salespeople are sending more emails, more messages, and you reference in the article about the fact that there's so much activity going on. Are there any tools that you can recommend that you like that help with things like calendar bookings, for example?
Yeah, for calendar bookings, which I think is the easiest way of saving yourself some time. I use You Can Book Me. Lots of people use Calendly. It depends a bit what you're looking for. Calendly is a bit more pretty. You Can Book Me is about a bit more feature deep. You can also sort of make it pretty with the different templates. It takes away a lot of emails back and forth, like all the emails where you say like, I have some times, do they work for you? And the other person is sure. And it's like, will you confirm at a meeting? Or because I'm like, yes, okay. And then, you know, nobody has time for that. Plus, it also takes away some friction in the sales process, which is very important. Because actually all these emails back and forth, any of these emails can be the last email that you exchange with a customer. I mean, at some point they might just be like, oh, I don't feel like responding. And you basically lost them while they might have been a good lead. Other good tools we use a bit more all-purpose is Zapier. You mentioned Zapier earlier. There's also Integromat. Integromat is again a bit more feature deep, but quite more difficult to use, I would say. It enables you to connect different software tools. So if you have different software tools for different things you do, you can easily make it so that if something happens in the one, then it makes something happen in the other, which then enables a whole process. So for instance, the automation I've set up to connect with customers on LinkedIn is an example of that. That's done with Zapier. Basically, if there's a new sign up in our database, then Zapier sends APIify, their first name, last name, and company name. Then APIify does a Google search for their LinkedIn profile. And then that LinkedIn profile is passed on to DuckSoup, and DuckSoup makes the connection. Or another, for instance, for signing DPAs, I forgot, data protection agreements, I think, for GDPR. We have this flow set up that if people want it, they just go to a link. There's a Typeform form. They fill it out. Typeform with Zapier pushes it to sign now, which is what we use for signing documents. The document is prepared for them. They get it in their email. They sign it. And done. We've signed the DPA. I don't need to be involved in that process. It just happens automatically. We have a lot of things set up at Salesforce as well, just pushing data from here to there, making sure that a lot of things we would normally have to do manually in the company happen automatically, and everything keeps sort of turning as a machine. So something I would definitely recommend. I'm thinking of other things. If you have I mentioned a meeting scheduler, and we mentioned having video calls. If you can book me, for instance, set up at Zoom. So every meeting I do, immediately has a specific Zoom link for that meeting in there. So I don't have to do anything. It's literally people want to talk. I say, here's a link. They pick an hour that works for them, and that works for me as well. It comes in both of our calendars. In there, there's a Zoom link. And just at the moment that the meeting starts, just open the meeting, click on the Zoom link, get in, and start the meeting. It's not more complicated than that nowadays.
I wanted to close out with some product-related questions about SalesFlare. And the first is that I remember seeing a reference to SalesFlare being the number one CRM on Product Hunt. I mentioned, I was talking to you before this podcast about Product Hunt and AppSumo and kind of my love for that. I just wanted to know how important your engagement with the Product Hunt community is to the growth of SalesFlare. So have you ever spent a lot of time over there? Have you ever collaborated with them in terms of either content or speaking to their users? How is it? How important has it been to your growth?
It has been important to our early growth, I would say. I think the Product Hunt launch was the first moment that we really achieved some scale with SalesFlare. Before that, things went rather slowly, which was good also. We were doing the very sort of manual sales. We didn't really have a self-guided process or anything. Once we started having that, we thought about launching a Product Hunt when we had it all streamlined. And back then, that was 2017, I think Product Hunt was still a bit more active than today. Like, there was a bit more enthusiasm behind it. But it gave us a lot of leads. I think it's probably still brings us about 10 trials a week, which is only a small percentage of what we have a week. But back then, it was a rather big percentage. And it also, you talked about AppSumo. It was only when we had this really successful launch on Product Hunt that the guys at AppSumo said, well, we'll give it a try as well, because they hadn't had a CRM on their platform for quite a while. They thought it couldn't be successful, and we proved them wrong. So
that's a great story too. And in closing, my final question for you today is about, there are listeners out there, and I know this, that they're going to have existing CRMs, and you know, a lot of people invest in Salesforce, and sometimes Salesforce is too much or more than necessary for small and medium businesses, which is where you really flourish. So I was interested to know, for companies that have committed, and I remember seeing some content on your site related to sales, I think Salesforce contracts as well. Mm-hmm. But for companies out there that have invested in Salesforce, perhaps their subscriptions are coming to an end and they're not too sure whether to renew. The biggest question, and the reason a lot of people don't move away, is because they're comfortable with what they have, because all of their data is in one place. So I wanted to know, how easy, if someone was considering going from something like Salesforce to SalesFlare, how easy or how difficult is that process?
Much easier than most people think. Most people are very scared of moving, and actually it's rather easy. You just export your data and a few CSVs. You watch a video in which we explain you in 5 minutes all the details about importing, and then you do that. I think you can do it in half an hour altogether if you've never done it before. And then that's then just for importing the things like the accounts and the contacts and the opportunities and all that. Salesforce will also pull in a lot of extra information based on the connection with your mailbox and your calendar and all that. So it will start filling out the rest. Even if you didn't have that data in Salesforce, it will get in extra information about contacts based on your email address. We've got some publicly available information, but also email signatures, for instance. It will get information from company databases about the companies you're importing based on their website. It will tell you who else you know at companies that you hadn't entered in Salesforce, just also based on your inbox and your calendar. It checks like, hey, you've been in touch with these people, had meetings with them. So it's rather simple. Yeah. The only thing that I would recommend is, if your data is rather dirty, don't just move it over. Take a little bit of time to do a spring clean. It will be very helpful. But otherwise, Maybe a little plug. Salesforce is the number one most easy to implement a CRM according to users on G2.com.
Oh, brilliant. That's really interesting to know. And interesting to know that not only is it easy, but that very quickly you can enhance the data that you have with Salesflare capability to enrich some of that data. So I think that's a great message for anyone that's responsible for maintaining a CRM, anyone in a sales position. You know, the key message there is if you've invested in Salesforce or a CRM of that kind of corporate size, and you don't necessarily need the features and functionality, and maybe there's something more suitable, more streamlined for you, you know, the process doesn't take long. Before I let you go, do you want to let our listeners know where they can connect with you and Salesflare?
Yeah. If you want to know more about Salesflare, you can just head to the site salesflare.com. There's all about the software there. You can try it, of course. Anywhere between 7 and 30 days, we give you extra days on the trial as you set it up, because we've seen that people who set it up better also much more successful in the long run. So we try to motivate that as much as possible. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can do that on LinkedIn. Just send me a connection request with a personal message. If you don't send a personal message, I have no way of distinguishing you from all the LinkedIn spam I get. But if you send me a personal message, I'll be sure to connect with you, and we can have a conversation about whatever you want to talk about.
Brilliant. Yurin, thanks so much for your time. Go check out Salesflare. This has been the Internet Marketing Podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.